Got your Bibles? Let's take a few moments to get into God's Word. John chapter 21. Our devotional tonight, and it is a devotional, is entitled, Lovest Thou Me More Than These? And the preacher went a little long this morning. He didn't realize it. I got down to the end and I was like, oh man, I better wrap this up. And so I'll make up for it tonight. The context of this passage of Scripture, John 21, and we're going to read three verses together, beginning in verse 15. But the disciples, perhaps feeling a little discouragement because of the death and the departure of Jesus, have gone fishing. It says in chapter 21 in verse 3, that Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I'm familiar with those fishing trips. There's much speculation about what all that means. A lot of people look at that. Did it mean that he needed money? So he was going to go back to doing some work while he figured things out about Jesus? Did it mean that he had given up on his call to the ministry? Because if you remember, when Jesus called his disciples, he said, come after me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. That was the goal and the purpose of his disciples beyond that moment. Not that they couldn't ever fish again. Not that they couldn't at times maybe even supplement their needs by fishing. But it was not the primary purpose of their life to be fishermen anymore. Their primary purpose were to be his disciples, to be fishers of men. So did it mean that he was giving up on his call to be a fisher of men? What was Peter going back to his old life? Either way, he didn't go alone. As is often the case, when he says, I go a-fishing, you notice that some of the other disciples said, we go with you also. We're going to go with you. I think there's a little bit of a side lesson there that no matter what we're doing, that people are always watching and we're always influencing people. So if Peter is giving up on his ministry life and he's going back to his old life, he's influencing the other men in a negative direction. But we don't know that that's the case necessarily. Either way, he doesn't go alone. Jesus appears to them on the Sea of Tiberias, and they were confused. It says that they had not caught anything. Jesus said in verse 5, children, have you any meat? They answered him and said, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. And you remember, they cast the net on the other side of the ship, and it was so much of a catch, the multitude of fish was so great that the nets began to break. 153 fish they actually dragged in. Then at that moment, it says the disciple whom Jesus loved, which we know is John, realized who it was that was on the shore speaking to them. He said, that's Jesus. Peter, being Peter, doesn't put his coat back on. He jumps into the water and rushes to Jesus because that's who Peter is. And that's the impulsive things that Peter would do. And Jesus tells him, come and dine. He brings him to the shore. And it says, and none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth to them, and fish likewise. It says that this was the third time that Jesus had showed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. After this, Jesus asked a very sobering question that maybe is hard to understand. Look at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. And he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He hath said unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now I want to take a little side note before I get into what I wanted to actually direct your attention to. You remember that when Peter was boasting that he would not deny Christ, the Lord told him, said, you're going to deny me three times. Three times you will deny me before the cock crows. I believe that what's happening here, I believe is a redemption moment for Peter. I think Jesus gave him three opportunities. And by the way, when you read into the Greek text, when Jesus is asking him, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? The word that Jesus used for love is not the same word that Peter used when he said it back to him. He said, do you agape me? And he said, Lord, you know I phileo you. Phileo is where we get the word Philadelphia. It's a brotherly love. It's an affection. It's a kindness. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know that my heart is turned towards you. You know that I'm affectioned towards you. Peter, do you love me? Peter changed his word at the end. You know that I love you. You know where my heart is. I think Jesus was giving Peter a chance to kind of redeem himself from those three denials to three proclamations of, Lord, I do love you. I know I denied you three times. But here's what I want to focus on. After the meal, Jesus asked Peter the question, a series of questions, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Now here's the question. The question is, what was Jesus pointing at when he asked that question? Some speculate that Peter was abandoning the ministry to return to his life as a commercial fisherman. In that case, Jesus would have been pointing at the fish. Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Indicating, in other words, Jesus is saying, do you love me more than your job? More than your career? More than the thing that you think brings you security or comfort? Do you love me more than these? Others speculate that Jesus was pointing to the other disciples and saying, do you love me more than you love your friends? Do you love me more than you love these? Indeed, often our friends, our family, our jobs, our careers, our profession, often these are the things that hinder us from serving the Lord as we ought to serve Him. You know, and the truth is, Jesus told us when it comes to being a disciple, He said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is what? Not worthy of me. And so maybe that's what Jesus is asking. Do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than your friends or your family? The problem is that Peter never indicated that he had a problem with that. I mean, when Peter was called by Jesus to be a fisherman, he left. He left immediately and went. So his career doesn't seem like that was the issue. Peter, James, John, Andrew, these people left their families behind to go and to be with the Lord Jesus and to serve Him. But there was a problem that Peter did evidence in his life. The problem he evidenced was that he thought that his love for Christ was greater than all the other disciples. Do you remember what he said over in Matthew chapter 26? If you got your Bibles, go back there for just one second. Matthew 26. And look with me there for just a second. Let me refresh your memory. Matthew 26, when Peter's denial is foretold, look at verse 31. Matthew 26, 31 says, then saith Jesus unto them, all of you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Peter is boasting that his love is greater for Christ than the other people. It'd be like sitting here going, yeah, Jason might defect, but Lord, not me. Chris might be offended. I'm not going to be offended. Darren, maybe. Troy. Though all men should be offended or depart from you or forsake you or desert you, not me, Lord. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, listen to what he says here. Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise, said all the other disciples. Peter did evidence a problem. It wasn't that he loved his job more than Jesus. It doesn't seem that he loved his friends more than Jesus. But Peter's problem was that he thought that he loved Jesus more than he actually did. And I think sometimes that's our problem too. I think sometimes we are guilty of the same crime of maybe thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. So the question would be, Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples do? Because Peter struggled with that. Like Peter, if we'll take time to honestly examine ourselves, we'll find that our love for the Lord is often not as strong as we think it is. Especially in a day and age that we live in where we're guilty of loving other people, other things, other hobbies, other habits more than we love Him. And if you think about it, we only love Him because He first loved us. And so it's important and imperative for us as Christians to every day get up and examine ourselves. Do I love Jesus more than whatever is going to come in front of me today? And as a Christian, that almost sounds unreasonable to people today. But that's exactly what Jesus said it would take to be His disciple. Jesus didn't have any gray area. There is no fine print with the Lord Jesus. When He said, you have to love me more than you love your family, more than father or mother, son or daughter. You have to be. He said, listen, if you love your own life more than me, you cannot be my disciple. You can't be it. And so every day we have to get up and ask ourselves, is there something that I love more than Jesus? Because if there is, then I'm not His disciple. I'm not His true disciple. Our love for Him is what both the quality and the quantity of our service for Him will hinge upon. How much you love Him will determine how often and how well we serve Him. You think about your spouse. Now, if you're a good spouse, if you're a good one, you will seek to serve your other spouse, the other spouse in the marriage, not your other spouse. You should only have one. This is not the Latter-day Saints church, okay? This is Baptist church. You should only have one, but the other spouse, the other person in your marriage. You should seek to serve that person. You know, the part of a relationship that makes it work is when I try to figure out what I need to be for you and then what you do to try to figure out what you need to be for me. That's how a marriage works. What does my wife need me to be? What does my husband need me to be? Each person seeking to serve the other person. And you'll only have a successful marriage. We're not going into a marriage counseling session, but when you're willing to meet a desire and a need that you don't have, when you're willing to do that. Now, I say all that to say this. The quality and the quantity of your service to your spouse is oftentimes based on the depth of your love for them. If you love your spouse, serving your spouse won't be a problem. You'll want to give them quality time, quality gifts, quality effort. If you love them deeply, you will give quantity and quality to them. And the same is true for Jesus. When I love Him more deeply, the quantity of my service to Him will expand. Lord, there's nothing off limits. What do you, here am I, send me. When I love him more deeply, the quality of my service will deepen. It won't be just going through the motions or I'm going to do the least amount I can do. It's I could never serve Jesus enough. We sing that old song, it pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. But I serve him because I love him. So I want to end with this. I want to ask you, what might the word these point to in your life? What is it in your life that if Jesus were to ask you that same question, lovest thou me more than these, what would he point at? Career, family, hobbies, habits. Do you love me more than these? I want to end with this verse. It comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The writer says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. That word patience means endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, notice he said, let us lay aside every weight and sin. He didn't link those two together. He separated those two things. Because we can have things in our lives that weigh us down in our service that aren't sinful. And there's nothing wrong with them. They are amoral. Nothing sinful about them. But they can become a weight sometimes that hinder us from running our race. Lovest thou me more than these? Are you willing to set it aside? Are you willing to press forward? Are you willing to give quality and quantity service to God, no matter what it may cost you? Discipleship will always cost you, but it's always worth it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for giving Peter an opportunity to redeem himself. Poor Peter often gets a bad rap. He made some colossal mistakes that are recorded. I'm so thankful, God, that my mistakes aren't recorded in your word. Lord, I thank you that you gave him a chance to just kind of redeem himself and save face and declare his love for you, because obviously Peter did love you. Peter was a great servant, a great preacher, died a martyr's death for the cause of the gospel. And Lord, in all of that, he set an example. He, in his letters, told us that you were our example, but you were his example, and he is too an example to us of what it may cost us. Help us to not love anything more than we love you. And Lord, as dangerous as it is, if there's something that I love more than you, I pray that you'd remove it so that my love for you might deepen. Help us to be the disciples that you want us to be. Help us to be the church you want us to be. And we'll bring you honor and glory in all that we say and all that we do. And we'll give it all back to you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.